Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Kevin Harney. Kevin is the teaching pastor and evangelism champion at Faith Church in Dyer, Indiana, and Central Wesleyan Church in Holland, Michigan. He's also on the teaching team in the campus ministry of Grand Valley State University. He's the author of Leadership from the Inside Out, Examining the Inner Life of a Healthy Church Leader. Kevin, welcome to Rev.
Glad to be with you guys.
Hey, now, you know, Brian and I are here, and both of us have been in ministry for long enough to know that, you know, even though we have to stand up and preach, even though we have to lead in the church, we know that ministry itself can eat your lunch. So talk to us. Just give us a fast overview of the book, and then we'll kind of go a little deeper.
Yeah, and I think eat your lunch is not a bad way to put it. Of course, anybody who's in ministry understands that when you're leading a church, whether it has 75 people or whether it has 500 people, every single one of those people sort of has a sense that they have a little stake in you and your life and your family, and even a little bit of ownership in terms of not being your boss, but certainly having some expectations of you, and we want to meet needs. And so by the time we turn around after 6 months, a year, 2 years without paying attention, we realize that we've become depleted and emptied and really ineffective for ministry. So this is a book that's about helping leaders serve effectively, powerfully, joyfully for a lifetime and not hit that point where they just say, I got nothing left to give, or where they become so empty they do something inappropriate, something unwise, and compromise their ministry and their future.
So, Kevin, why is that? I mean, why does this seem to be a part of almost, you can count on it, a casualty of the ministry that there's burnout, and then in some cases there ends up being a moral or ethical failure? Why is that almost built in?
Yeah, probably three quick thoughts. One is the way that pastors, leaders in the churches tend to be wired. We love people. We want to care for people. And so we're in a role where we're giving. And we want to give. And we love to give. And we want to let God work through us. But just in the way that pastors are wired, I think we're set up for it, which gives us another reason to be all the more careful. I think a second thing is that the people that we serve understand that we're there to serve them, and they sometimes forget that we're people. They forget that we have the same needs they have. We have the same fears they have. We have the same limitations they have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can begin to look at pastors in a way that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess a third thing that's really critical for leaders to realize is that, and especially in terms of depleting the inner life and putting so much into the outer life, is that we sometimes move towards the things we get graded for, the things that are on the scorecard for the church. Do we give a good sermon? Have we made enough visits of people in their homes or in the hospital, whatever our calling is? People look at the outer leadership issues, and that tends to be what they expect us to do. And the truth of the matter is, for the most part, we don't get graded for our inner lives. We don't get graded for the condition of our souls, for the health of our lives. As long as we can deliver on the outside, a lot of people aren't too concerned what's happening on the inside. The reality is, though, as leaders, we have to be concerned even if other people aren't.
Okay, so growing our soul and our inner life takes commitment. You know, involves self-examination, discipline, humble honesty. But what are some signs, maybe, or symptoms that I'm getting unhealthy?
Mm-hmm.
Something that'll sort of jar me loose and say, hey, I need to focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic question. And really, there's different symptoms for different areas of our life or of our soul. I think it's important to identify that when we think about, okay, well, how's the soul of a leader? How's the soul of a pastor? Sometimes what we'll say is, well, you know, do I read my Bible and do I say some prayers every day? You know? And that's hugely important, and I think a great discipline for every, you know, pastor should be in the Word, should be in prayer, and those things feed our souls. But our soul is bigger than that. When I talk about the soul of a leader, I'm talking about the health of our inner life, our whole sort of this holistic sense of who we are. So is our heart healthy? Do we still love people? Is our mind vibrant? Are we still thinking the things of God? Are we dreaming big dreams? Are our eyes, you know, healthy? Do we see the things of God? Are we speaking the words of God? Are we things like our funny bone? Do we still laugh? One of the signs, if you say signs that a pastor, that a church leader is coming to a critical point, all kinds of symptoms. I'd say things like this: do you laugh very much anymore, or are you becoming bitter? If you've lost your sense of humor, I think there's a problem. I as a leader, I have a hard time trusting leaders who can't laugh. And I've seen leaders who've gotten to that point where they're just so, in a sense, they take themselves so seriously, you almost get the sense they're building a whole ministry on their own shoulders instead of the presence and the work of Jesus Christ. And so, that would be one symptom. Another symptom would be, for a leader to say, am I still growing my mind? Or have I got to the point where, I don't know what to preach on anymore because I don't feel like there's a sense of new things flowing into my mind. I remember talking with a leader who said to me, boy, by every Thursday or Friday, I'm just desperate because I can't think of anything to preach on. That's a warning sign. if your soul is vibrant and healthy, if you're walking with God and the Spirit's in you and you feel the presence of Christ as you walk through your day, I think for most leaders, they're saying, wow, I've got some exciting things to say to God's people because I've been meeting with God. I've been listening to God, not just in the Word, but just kind of as I walk through my day, I see God at work around me. And so, is your mind still growing and vibrant? I think another sign would be, and this is one that we've seen, it's become critical, but far too many pastors fall into moral and sexual impropriety. And for a leader to say, am I no longer, if they're a married person, am I no longer really in love with my spouse? Do I no longer take delight in that person? Do I no longer find satisfaction just in being with them and enjoy them, not just in a physical sense, but relationally, emotionally, spiritually? And boy, this is a critical one for leaders. If we're not feeling good about our marriage relationship, if we're a married person, that's something to tend to. That's just a huge flashing red light saying, beware, be careful. Because what will happen is we'll start to get our emotional needs by someone besides our spouse. And then when we're getting our needs met that way, it begins to move to other things that are even more dangerous. But there's all kinds of symptoms. That's just a sample of a few.
So, Kevin, so if some of our listeners are recognizing themselves in your descriptions here, what do they need to do?
Well, I kind of give two prescriptions. If you kind of look and you do a self-diagnosis and you see, boy, there's a problem, and there's, of course, all kinds of other ones. And leadership from the inside out, that's what I'm addressing. I'm looking at different areas of the spiritual life, of the inner soul. And so I give kind of two broad things. One is first just doing really good self-examination. They start to see what's going on, to be honest, to say, I'm going to look at my life, and I'm going to be honest. I'm going to acknowledge it. So maybe they're examining their heart, and they begin to realize that, man, my ministry should be done out of a sense of love for God and love for people. Jesus was real clear about that. Love God, love people. That's the basic. That's the core. But my heart is becoming cold. I'm phoning it in. I'm doing the job. I'm cranking out the sermons, but I'm not passionate in love with God, and I'm not really connecting with people and loving people. So what do I do? Well, I make an honest assessment. Man, my heart is not where it needs to be. And I come before God and I begin to acknowledge that. I think of Psalm 139 where David says at the very end of the psalm, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a sense of God. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the psalm, David actually declares, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. So he kind of acknowledges, God, you know everything about me. But then at the end he's saying, but God, search me even deeper. So I would say first, just to begin to humbly come before God and say, God, in the world of my heart, my heart's become cold. In the world of my mind's no longer vibrant and growing with your thoughts, but I'm just kind of doing the same old stuff and grinding it out. And in my libido, in my sexual relational life, my attentions are going in the wrong direction. I acknowledge that. I think the first thing in the process is to say, God, I acknowledge to you that I got a problem here. That my heart's not the way it should be, that my mind's not vibrant like it should be, and begin to acknowledge that to God, begin to confess that, and begin to actually take specific steps of saying, I gotta turn this around. I've gotta make changes in my behavior, in my actions, and in every different area. We can kind of look at different examples, but just to say, I'm willing to take the steps needed to reignite this part of my life. And then the second main component is get people around you who will hold you accountable, who will lift you up, who will pray for you. And this is such a tricky thing for leaders. I think that too often as leaders, we begin to struggle in some area of our life where we realize things aren't the way they should be, but we don't want anybody to know because I'm a pastor. I'm the Reverend so-and-so. I'm a pastor. I'm a church leader. And we don't have those kind of problems. We don't struggle. I mean, we're the model of what the Christian life should be. And the truth of the matter is, we're not. Jesus is. And so we come to the point where we say, I can't make this journey on my own. And one of the things for me as a leader in the church is I have a small group of six other pastors that I meet with, and we get into each other's lives. We tell each other the truth. We say, boy, I'm struggling here. This part of my life isn't the way it should be, and here's the steps I know I need to take, but I don't think I can do it on my own. Will you pray for me? Will you ask me how I'm doing? Will you keep me accountable? If there's a challenge where somebody feels like, boy, I feel like I'm going to cross the boundary here that's not appropriate, I need you guys to pray for me. And in my case with these pastors, it's a group of men, and we get together, and we really ask the hard questions, but we also do the hard work of following up with each other. And I think that if a leader sees that they're starting to head down a road that they think is not healthy for them, honest self-examination, humble acknowledgement before God, and then, you know, set those specific goals to change it and get people around you that will actually hold your feet to the fire. Because as spiritually, we know that if we keep things in the dark that aren't what God wants, they're going to grow. But we bring them to the light, and consistently, they just fade away. They die because God, we kind of put them into God's presence, and God begins to deal with those things.
Okay, so let's talk about accountability a bit here, because I think we would all know it, we preach it, but accountability has all different kinds of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like if there's going to be some teeth in it, some traction, it's got to be in a healthy accountability that goes to the places that you're not apt to go. So talk to me a little bit about this group of six you're in, and what sort of covenant or agreement do you have that forces each other to ask the tough questions and really get at stuff that maybe, you know, it'd be easy to gloss over? Because as professionals, you know, we can schlack our lives, we can make them look glossy, and we know how to sort of shuck and jive around the issues. How do you go there?
Yeah. And, you know, I want to really affirm what you just said. The reality is, anybody who's in ministry working with people, because of their skills to communicate and what their basic skill package will allow, they allow them, allow us to put on a show if we want to. We can cover up. We can think, I'm doing great. Everything's fine. And so in this small group, we really, you know, on the very front side, we've just been honest and said, we acknowledge to each other that we are human beings who are frail, who are broken. We're saved by grace, and God is using us. But you know what? We can fall, we can stumble like anybody else can. And so part of it is that initial acknowledgement. And I really recommend that anybody in ministry, whether they're a children's director, senior pastor, youth leader, you know, anybody in Christian service, that they have an accountability group, and not just a group they hang out with, but a group that really talks deeply. So you asked about kind of covenantally, how do we agree with each other? One of the things that this group has agreed to talk about together are things like our personal finances. You know, are we being responsible with our personal finances? There's a lot of church leaders who have gotten in trouble because they've let their financial world get out of control. So we talk about that. We ask if we're making wise choices in that area of our lives. In our relational lives, in terms of, we ask about our marriages, we ask about our parenting. A huge crisis point for a lot of leaders in the church comes when they realize that they've fallen in love with the church, and they're called to serve the church, and they get you know, graded and paid for doing that, so all of a sudden their marriage or their children are not being attended to. And that's a huge kind of glaring gap in a lot of people's lives. In our group, we keep each other accountable to caring for our families, to being the kind of husbands that God wants us to be. And then also in our spiritual lives, that we talk about, are we really walking with Christ? Are we making space for spiritual disciplines and spiritual growth? Our moral lives, we talk about, one of the questions we ask each other is, have you been with any woman in an inappropriate way since we last met? And we talk about what do we mean by in an inappropriate way. It's not just physically, but if you feel like you're becoming emotionally drawn to a woman besides your wife, draw boundaries. And we'll say to each other, you know, you need to not connect with that person. Okay, you're training that person in ministry and you're feeling drawn to them, have someone else train them. I mean, it gets real practical. It gets real specific. And then the next time we meet, how are you doing? Are you following through?
Oh, okay, so let me interrupt here. Let me understand this. Is this sort of like willful sharing, or if I show up, am I going to say, hey, Harney, here are three things I want to ask you? I mean, is it expected for someone to ask you those questions, or is it just sort of voluntarily, I can share these things in a safe environment if I feel comfortable?
Yeah, it's both and. I mean, generally, we've come to a point in this group where we do that pretty willingly, and we know that we need that from each other, but there's also an ongoing series of questions that we'll ask each other that are just built in. And I actually have two pastor groups I've been part of. One I just phased out of after 8 years, and that group is one that has also had a very similar kind of a pattern. And in both cases, there's the, you're always free to share specifics here and we'll keep you accountable. There's also the, hey, let's run through this. Is there anybody here around the table today who is dealing with issues in their finances that we need to know about? Is there anybody who, we talk about viewing patterns. Are you watching any movies, anything on the internet that's inappropriate? I mean, we ask very specific questions. And we did, we got those from, you know, I got these like 8 or 9 years ago from some Promise Keepers deal that Chuck Swindoll or somebody was speaking at, and I wrote them down, and we kind of, they've kind of morphed over the years and changed to be more and more specific to the group that we're with. But they're very specific questions that are asked. So there's an expectation when we get together, we know that you're going to have certain questions asked of you, and you're going to be expected to be honest with the other members of the group. And the truth of the matter is, someone can choose to lie. But the sense that we've gotten in this group as we meet together, the two groups I've been part of for the last decade or so, my sense has been these people aren't lying. You know, they're not lying to each other, because the reality is they're sharing some pretty deep, honest stuff, and it's very confidential, and I wouldn't share it with you or anybody else. But there's honest, heart-level struggles that are shared, and there's a, and usually if something specific is shared, a couple of the guys in the group will say, hey, listen, we'll follow up with this person, and the next couple of weeks, they're on them. They're talking with them, calling, checking in. I had one guy in one of the groups who actually, and I've gotten permission to share this, but one of the guys in one of the groups that I've been part of has just shared, he said, I have not had a temptation with internet pornography for 10 years, he said. It's never been an issue. He said, the last week or so, I haven't acted on it, but for some reason, I'm starting to think about it, and I feel like, man, if I'm not careful, I could actually go somewhere I shouldn't go in that world. And he shared it with us before he got there. Well, we had a couple of guys say, hey, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be checking in with you. We're going to be talking with you. We also, as a group, agreed to put on all of our computers a reporting device, every reporting program that will then let somebody else in the group, two other members of the group, know what sites we visited, if there's anything inappropriate. We took those kind of actions, but specifically two guys said, we're going to get a hold of you by phone or face-to-face for the next few weeks and just really check in, because we can see that you take this seriously and you see yourself in a critical moment here. And what was exciting was about 2 months later, he was able to say to us, not only did he not act on it, but he says, man, for the most part, those desires have subsided, they've gone away, but if they pop up again, I'll let you guys know.
That's great.
And what a great place to be, where there's that kind of confidentiality and love for each other.
That's great. Well, Kevin, I'm sorry we're out of time, but thanks so much for sharing some of the content of your book, Leadership from the Inside Out. I hope that people listening to this will check it out. And thanks for your ministry.
Yes, it's an honor to talk with you guys.
If you'd like to know more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and find out about the world's most practical church leadership periodical. I'm Alan Nelson with my co-host Brian Mavis, wishing you God's best in your ministry.